Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here. Welcome back to Tesla Daily. We've got a lot to go through today, including the announcement of Tesla's intent to do a stock split with shareholder approval of increasing share count. We'll talk about that. Got news that Tesla's director of AI, Andrej Karpathy, is on a sabbatical from Tesla. We've also got some updates on production in China, a new Elon Musk interview, and a few other items as well. All right, starting off with the stock here, although Tesla couldn't quite keep that streak going on Friday, definitely made up for it today, up 8% on the day to close at $1,091.84 versus the NASDAQ up 1.3%. And of course, likely a big factor contributing to this was Tesla's early morning tweet today saying that, quote, Tesla will ask shareholders to vote at this year's annual meeting to authorize additional shares in order to enable a stock split, end quote. Tesla also filed a new 8K with the SEC this morning explaining the same. Don't get confused by the language in there. It does talk about a dividend, but it's a stock dividend. This is the exact same split structure that Tesla used previously. So this is not them setting up a cash dividend quarterly or otherwise. So as we have talked about before, the reason Tesla needs to seek shareholder approval in this case where they didn't need to for the first stock split is because they're bumping up against their issuable share limit. That's set at 2 billion shares, and Tesla's already got over a billion shares outstanding, so right now they couldn't even do a 2-for-1 split without increasing that cap. So that's what they're asking for approval here. Then subsequently, Tesla can split the stock, which they have said is the intent here. So until we kind of see what Tesla has in mind to increase that share count cap to, we don't know much about what the split will look like. Even that might not tell us. But unless Tesla announces that specifically, that'll be our first indication. I think the act of the split itself is more important than what the ratio ends up being, but it is still a little bit important for some factors we'll talk about here in a second. Personally, I expect it to be a 20-for-1 split, and I'm basing that on the recent actions from both Amazon and Google. They both did 20-for-1. Tesla as a $1 trillion-plus company, that's their peer group alongside a couple of others. That peer group can end up having a little bit of an influence on items like these. That would pull Tesla's stock down into a range that would still allow it to appreciate and be a little bit cheaper than those companies, which would better reflect the overall valuation of the companies, which is really what's important. But individual share prices do seem to carry some psychological weight as well. For some nonsensical reason, the Dow Jones Index is also weighted by share price. Makes absolutely no sense. Don't know why they would ever set it up that way, but it is that way. And if Tesla does a 20-for-1 split, a $50 to $100 share price, that's something that would be palatable to add to the Dow Jones versus something like today at over 1,000. So that's a potential factor. And then we can also look at what SpaceX is intending to do. They're going to do a 10-for-1 stock split. That'll bring their share price down into that same $50 to $100 range. That could be an indicator that that is the ballpark that Elon wants the share price to be in for employees to be able to easily afford to purchase shares, or maybe that's the preference that Elon has heard from employees. So for those few reasons, 20-for-1 is my best guess. Personally, I wouldn't mind a less aggressive split because that allows Tesla to then split more in the future. And although fundamentally a split really doesn't have any impact, there certainly seems to be a psychological impact, and companies that have split their stock have done better over the following year. I don't have that research up right now, but we did talk about it previously. Whether that's because of the split or just because companies are splitting stock when they're doing well, that would probably require more research. But I do think that act of announcing a stock split, the biggest thing is that signaling of confidence to investors that, hey, our stock is probably going to keep going up and we just need it to be cheaper so that employees can afford it. That's why it's a little bit annoying when investors try to push for that. First of all, it's just kind of annoying to do in general, but it also should be left up to Tesla to decide when the right time to do that is. If it's just to appease some questions from retail investors, then it kind of loses that whole luster of management actually wanting to do it themselves. So I'm glad to see that's the case here. I do think that should be perceived as a positive. And of course, it just inherently creates a little bit more demand for the stock because some people don't have access to trade partial shares. Some people only want to trade in even lots. Maybe one share or an even lot size is just too much that they wouldn't want to allocate that much to Tesla in their portfolio. This alleviates some of those things, naturally creating a little bit more demand. It also will impact the options market significantly. Contracts will be much cheaper, and that will probably cause some strange things to happen as Tesla's option chain is already extremely, extremely active. I don't see how a split wouldn't increase that activity. As far as the timing goes, Tesla did say that the share count expansion vote would happen at the annual shareholder meeting. Last year, that was in October, but that's been moved just the last couple of years because of COVID stuff. In the past, those meetings generally were in the summer, so I would expect with the timing of this announcement, Tesla will probably be reverting back to that summer schedule. I don't think they'd want to announce this like 6 months out, so I'd guess June or July for the annual meeting. Certainly, this expanded share count will get approved, and then probably Tesla would split a few weeks later. All right, we'll move on from the stock split, but just a couple of other stock-based items I wanted to cover. First, the SEC. We had talked about how they had submitted their proposal for that $40 million distribution from the Elon Musk going private tweet settlement. We've already gone through that proposal. We won't rehash it here, but on Friday, the judge did approve that proposal. Obviously, Elon and Tesla have pushed back on that original settlement, so I don't know if they're going to hold off on distributing this until that's more resolved. But in this approval from the court, there is no mention of doing anything like that. The other quick thing on the stock then was shared by Phil Lebeau of CNBC on Twitter this morning, saying that Deutsche Bank has raised their earnings estimates for Q1. I haven't seen any articles on this, but Phil says that Deutsche Bank said that they're raising their estimates because beyond this quarter, we remain impressed with Tesla's operational execution in the face of industry supply chain challenges and with its pricing power, which could enable it to more than offset steep raw materials pressure. So very similar to the conclusions that we have heard other analysts coming to as well. All right, next we're talking a little bit about FSD development, some news that Elon Musk casually dropped on Twitter over the weekend that some people are finding a little bit alarming. Elon was replying to some things about FSD beta in Canada and added that, by the way, Andrei Karpathy, Tesla's director of artificial intelligence, is on about 4-month sabbatical. Understandably, that does raise some question marks. We've seen people before take these sabbaticals from Tesla and they've been maybe indefinite or they've ended up not coming back to Tesla after that. Notably, Doug Field, Tesla's former senior vice president of engineering, kind of left the company that way. But we've very much seen the other side of the coin too, with people taking sabbaticals and then returning and continuing to excel. Notably in that case, Tesla's former president of automotive, Jerome Guillen, who had taken a sabbatical back in, I think, 2015. Then it was kind of murky on when he was returning. Eventually, it was announced that he was leading the Tesla Semi project. Ended up being promoted to president of automotive, so that's why I say excelling after taking the sabbatical. But then later on, ended up being moved over to president of heavy trucking and shortly thereafter leaving the company. But that was many years, especially in Tesla time, after the sabbatical. So I think it's fully justified for this to raise some questions, but it's not inevitably going to be a bad sign for Andre's future with the company or anything like that. Andre did have a few tweets helping clarify this. He said, quote, "Taking some time off to rest and travel after almost 5 years at Tesla, especially excited to get focused time to resharpen my technical edge and train some neural nets. Though I already miss all the robots and GPU/Dojo clusters, and looking forward to having them at my fingertips again," end quote. He also shared that he's doing a quote-unquote digital nomad trip and packed up one backpack, going east, saying hi to friends along the way, reading papers and writing code, currently in the UK, continuing to Europe, Asia, and wrapping around back to the Bay Area. Also probably worth noting that Comma AI had quoted Andre's first tweet there and said that the odds of passing Tesla this year just went up, and Andre replied to that saying, quote, "From 0.001% to ? So I think that's a good indicator that Andre is still confident and kind of going to bat for Tesla during this period of time. Seems like quite a few signals there pointing to this just being truly a sabbatical. Definitely hope that's the case. Andre seems to be a really good fit, seems to be doing a good job. But as Elon has noted many times, it's not just Andre leading the autopilot team. Tesla's got other directors and other disciplines and of course a very broad and robust team. All right, next we've got an update on Giga Shanghai. As we had talked about a week or two ago, there have been rising COVID cases in China, and that's leading to some impacts on businesses. Of course, Giga Shanghai had been closed for about a day and a half or so there for testing, and it's now being reported that we'll have a second brief shutdown here at Giga Shanghai to end the quarter. So Bloomberg here reporting that Tesla is halting production today, Monday, and that it is not entirely clear when production would be starting again. What I have heard is that Tesla would be closed until April 1st. Obviously, that situation can change. We'll continue to monitor it over the next few days. I've read some things, too, that maybe if employees actually sleep in the factory, they can continue production. Don't think anyone's really rooting for it, but just mentioning that as a possibility, though, again, I have been told that it will be halted until April 1st. Later this week, we'll definitely walk through in more detail delivery and production estimates for this quarter. This should have a pretty significant impact on production, but because it's the end of the quarter, hopefully not too big of an impact for deliveries. All right, next up, we've got a new interview from Elon Musk. This was done with Axel Springer's CEO. I think Elon's done a couple of interviews with him in the past. I'll put the link to the full transcript in the description. We won't cover the full scope of it here. A lot of it was about the war. I think Elon summed up his own comments there nicely when he said, quote, "I think I can be helpful in conflicts. I try to take a set of actions that are most likely to improve the probability that the future will be good. And obviously, sometimes I make mistakes in this regard. I do whatever I think is most likely to ensure that the future is good for humanity. Those are the actions that I will take," end quote. For Tesla specifically, the biggest focus was probably on the Tesla bot. Elon emphasized that regardless of what Tesla does, humanoid robots are going to happen. He reiterated that the vision for Optimus, or the Tesla bot, is to be sort of a general purpose worker droid to handle things that humans don't really want to do that are repetitive, boring, or dangerous. And that, as we have talked about, the reason it looks like a human is because a lot of the infrastructure that humans have built is designed for that form factor. So if you want something that can come in and do a lot of things that humans do, it should be that form factor as well. Elon was asked if the Tesla bot would play a role in daily life by helping around in the household, things like that, and Elon said yes. Then he also talked a little bit about timeline, saying, quote, I think we will have something pretty good at the prototype level this year, and it might be ready for at least a moderate volume production towards the end of next year, end quote. I'll add some emphasis onto might be ready towards the end of next year. I would certainly expect later, but I would also note that the initial production, unlikely to be sold, Tesla will probably just use them in their factories and things like that. And I suppose it's probably pretty likely that they would do some limited partnerships with companies like what they're doing with the Tesla Semi and Pepsi right now. As far as other projects, Elon did again emphasize that in the short term, the most pressing thing for him is completing full self-driving. That was mentioned alongside Starship, and he said that he thinks those things might happen this year. Last couple of things I'll mention, Elon did discuss climate change, and he does believe that it will be solved, saying, quote, "Yes, absolutely, we will solve the climate issue. It is just a question of when. And that is like the fundamental goal of Tesla," end quote. The last thing I'll highlight then was just a point that Elon was making when he was asked about sort of his charitable contributions. He first noted that, hey, Tesla and SpaceX, both of those are doing really good things for humanity, he believes. But then from a charity perspective, it's really hard to find the most effective ways to spend that money. He said that's something he's working on and that, quote, "If you care about the reality of doing good and not the perception of doing good, then it is very hard to give away money effectively. I care about reality, perception be damned," end quote. Elon's mentioned that before. It's just an important concept to anchor on and to understand, especially when we're talking about a company and a stock, where a stock, oftentimes perception is going to outweigh reality for quite a long period of time. Anyway, if you're interested in the rest of the interview, again, that link to the transcript will be in the description. The other Elon update comes from his Twitter. He did note that he does supposedly have COVID-19 again, but almost no symptoms, so hopefully that'll be a quick recovery without further complications. All right, next up today, we've got an update on Giga Texas. Tesla has filed an application for a permit for a permanent switchyard and battery energy storage system at Giga Texas, and the limit of construction area is listed at 53 acres, which is about 200,000 square feet, or about 21 hectares. This is a sizable amount of space. For context, the land for Giga Shanghai is 210 acres, so this would be about a fourth of that land area. Could mean we see a sizable Tesla energy project installed there at Giga Texas. All right, last item for today then is on emissions requirements. There have been a few rule changes going on here, and over this weekend, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, or NHTSA, did end up reinstating higher fines that had been reduced under the Trump administration for model year vehicles 2019 through 2021, and then they did also increase fines for 2022. So the effect that this has is it could make regulatory credits for Tesla more valuable. I don't know if there's any retroactivity that could allow Tesla to sell to automakers to cover those periods of time from before, or if it would just be a go-forward type of benefit. But in terms of the impact here, Reuters reports that Stellantis had previously said that this change could cost them as much as $572 million. So we had heard about this possibility before. I'm not sure if this update from NHTSA means that this is final or if it still needs to go through any courts. Try to do a little bit more research on that, but definitely a significant update if this does end up standing. All right, that's where we'll close it out for today then. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Tuesday, March 29th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.